This was hardly a surprise, because conservative capitalists, the majority, would not risk their fortunes or reputations on the road. They regarded its stocks and bonds as a reckless gamble for high stakes at long odds. Who was there among them willing to wager on long shots? George Francis Train was one. Although he had failed to sell the UP, Train said, "An idea occurred to me that cleared the sky." He mentioned it to the doctor, who gave him $50,000 to put it into action. In March 1864, Train and Durant bought control of an obscure Pennsylvania corporation called the Pennsylvania Fiscal Agency that had been chartered 5 years earlier to do damn near anything it wished. In May, the board of directors was expanded to bring in more men from the UP. Train renamed it the Crédit Mobilier of America and made it into a construction company. Greatly simplified, the process worked this way. The Union Pacific awarded construction contracts to dummy individuals, who in turn assigned them to the Crédit Mobilier. The UP paid the Crédit Mobilier by check, with which the Crédit Mobilier purchased from the UP stocks and bonds, at par, the trick to the whole thing, and then sold them on the open market for whatever they would fetch, or used them as security for loans. The construction contracts brought huge profits to the Crédit Mobilier, which in turn was owned by the directors and principal stockholders of the UP. In short, it didn't matter if the UP ever got up and running and made a profit, because the Crédit Mobilier would make a big profit on building it. Profit that it would pay out to its stockholders in immense amounts. As historian Thomas Cochran comments, the procedure was a general one in the building of Western railroads, and often resulted badly for the original small investors who had bought the railroad bonds or stocks at near par. But for the insiders, it meant excessive profits. In addition, it necessarily tended to vest control of the railroad in the hands of the chief stockholders of the construction company.